really, but that was accidental. I mean, I wanted to become a doctor, but then, I don't know, I just got into engineering somehow.
That is Akshana Sawant, a senior developer advocate here at Salesforce. I'm Josh Burke, your host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast, and here in the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we sit down and talk with Akshana about using MuleSoft and a perspective of having MuleSoft for Salesforce developers. But we are going to continue, as we often do, right where we left off there with her earlier.
Earliest memory with computer was playing those games, solitaire and whatnot, and then having those paint thing. The early Microsoft, I used to have a Microsoft computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess most of us, we had the same one. So, drawing some weird pictures and all. And then we were also introduced to internet, so surfing, everything that I can think of.
Gotcha. Nice. When did you first start getting involved with MuleSoft?
First started with my MuleSoft, I think, the beginning of my career itself. So my entire career has been about MuleSoft.
Okay.
So, yeah, when I was in my first company, that's where I was introduced to MuleSoft. I was trained on MuleSoft at first and then assigned a project. And I guess that's where my MuleSoft journey started.
And how was your first experience with Salesforce itself?
So with Salesforce, I recently completed 1 year at Salesforce and it's been amazing. And I'm actually like quite new to Salesforce. I mean, the ecosystem and the learning perspective as well, the platform and all. So I'm just trying to learn and get it combined with MuleSoft and trying to learn more about Salesforce as well.
Gotcha. How would you describe your current job?
Current job? It's amazing. Like I love my current job. I mean, I've been doing this work as a MuleSoft ambassador previously over the years. Mm-hmm. And now you're actually getting paid for what you were doing as a hobby or as a passion.
So take a step back. Describe the MuleSoft Ambassador Program for us.
Oh, MuleSoft Ambassador Program.
Yeah.
I guess it's almost similar to what we have for Salesforce MVP Program.
Mm-hmm.
So as a MuleSoft Ambassador, you are already a MuleSoft Meetup leader. You're delivering sessions, you're speaking at meetups, Dreamforce, TDX. You're evangelizing MuleSoft among the community. So that's what a MuleSoft Ambassador does. And as a developer advocate, I'm doing the same stuff. I'm like, so I always wanted to, I mean, as an ambassador, I was doing this as a part-time, I mean, as a pastime, like when I was free, as a passion, over the weekends and stuff, or maybe after work. And I used to love that, being in the community, speaking at meetups, interacting with people, getting to know more people, the like-minded ones in the community and all. And yeah, that's how about it's been about being an ambassador. But I do miss being an ambassador now that I'm part of Salesforce.
Where are you based exactly? What community groups have you been working with?
So initially, I used to work with community groups in Mumbai.
Okay.
So that's where I'm actually from.
Okay.
And 2 years back, I moved to London. So I've been hosting meetups across UK, like London and Manchester mainly.
Got it. Okay. Now, we're going to get into a bunch of MuleSoft stuff. And however, we are going to level set for wildly, just in case there are people out there that are asking the question, what exactly is MuleSoft?
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite question. And I think I get a lot as well. I mean, from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go on talking about it for a long time. So basically, MuleSoft, not all of us, but if you have heard about MuleSoft, the first thing that comes to your mind is like, it's a middleware integration tool. It's an ESB tool. But that thing would have been relevant if we would have been like talking 2-3 years back.
Okay.
But at this stage or at this point, I think it's just more than an API integration tool or an integration platform or an iPaaS platform. It has so much more to provide when it comes to integration. That's true. But now it's also having an automation suite. We have Composer, MuleSoft Composer, which is like a no-code, low-code capability. We have RPA, Robotic Process Automation, which takes the automation to the next level.
Okay.
So that's a lot more. It's not just limited to an ESP or a middleware tool, I would say. Yeah.
So we're not just talking about connecting connectors at this point.
Yeah.
There's an application layer running on top of this as well.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's not just about connectors or connecting different systems. We are taking these connectors to a next level. We are having all the entire API management capabilities, API design, building, deploying, and no matter where your application is hosted or using what you're building the application, you can still manage them using MuleSoft.
Tell me a little bit more about that. So if I have an application running on Amazon, for instance, what kind of management does MuleSoft provide there?
So if you have an application which you're managing on Amazon, so if you want to take care of the, and it is one of the application, but you have other applications which are hosted somewhere else, you can still manage them on MuleSoft. I mean, the post-deployment management, you need management in terms of security, monitoring, sending out alerts, or tracking if there is anything fishy going on, if there is something spooky kind of. So you can do... So you can actually manage all of that on MuleSoft. Like no matter what your application is built using, it need not be a Mule application. It could be any of the third-party application like using Java, Python, or anything. And no matter where it is hosted, you can still bring them all together on one unified platform and manage it out.
I love the idea of a spooky alert, I have to say. So then that I think dives into, once again, I'm skipping around my questions. So that sounds more like MuleSoft has implemented more like CI and CD tools than I think most people would be thinking of.
You can implement CI CD as well. You can integrate MuleSoft applications with your current CI CD pipeline.
Okay.
But yeah, that is like something of an additional capability. Other than integration, but the main focus always remains it has an integration tool and unlocking systems, basically unlocking the data which might be in silos and which is like unattended for a long time. But if you want to get a value out of it, if you want to perform some complex logical transformations, because definitely using Salesforce as well, you guys can connect to any end system. But then taking it to another level, you're bringing out data from different end systems, you're composing them, you're just transforming it into a different level. You're performing like logical transformations. So that is something which you can do with MuleSoft, like the heavy operations.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of Salesforce, you co-authored a book, MuleSoft for Salesforce Developers.
Yep.
Just first of all, how did that get started? When did you first start thinking you wanted to create something in book form?
I wasn't actually thinking about it. That was accident. That was something by an accident as well. So
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I used to write blogs like in my free time, like over the past 5 years, I've written several blogs for different publishers and all. So this publication, PAC publication, they came across my blog and they were like, yeah, we would like to connect with you. And we have this idea of book, which is about MuleSoft, which we would like to go ahead with. I was like, okay, I hope you guys know that I still have like 5 years of experience in industry. And I'm not sure I've just written a blog, which would be like a one-page or two-page blocks kind of thing.
Right.
And here we are talking about a book. How is it going to happen? And I was actually nervous about the idea as well. Like how can, because that was like a far-fetched dream or something which I had never thought about. But then, yeah, things fell in place and it happened.
It didn't turn into just a three-page book.
It did not. It's a huge one.
Okay.
And I also have other co-authors, which were nice.
Okay. I mean, for the uninitiated, like, tell me a little bit about how different the journey was from being able to just sort of sit down and take your thoughts and put it into a blog post versus actually having to work with co-authors and editors and have something published into a book.
So working with co-authors, it was easy because they are my like kind of friends and they are community members. So we were already knowing each other for a long time. So that was easy with co-authors. With publication, it was easy with the publication as well because they were actually quite supportive and they used to help with revisions and all. And then they used to take care of the other tasks other than the technical stuff, whatever the non-technical activities. So they used to handle it.
Nice.
And when we used to write the book and everything, it was so different than writing a blog, a simple blog, because it's an entire chapter which you have to write. And then firstly forming the outline, and then it's an additional task as well, so you have to devote all your weekends, your late nights, early mornings. So yeah. So that's how the last year has been. It's been about the book.
Got it. And the book is out and it's available on Amazon, correct?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon.
All right, well, we will get a link to that in the show notes. So let's dive a little bit into the topics of the book itself. So Salesforce developers are, you know, integration is one of our main services.
Yep.
How do you think a Salesforce developer should have a mindset when it comes to approaching MuleSoft?
So as a Salesforce developer, while approaching MuleSoft, it should be like, you should be clear with your basics about like what is integration tool or what is a cloud platform, an iPaaS tool, what are you expecting from it? Basic concepts of APIs, REST APIs, SOAP APIs. Basically, as a Salesforce developer, if you're approaching this book or maybe MuleSoft as well, just your basics should be clear. The basics which you have already studied back in college, I think that should be good.
Gotcha. Nice. And what does it look like from like an integration point of view with the Salesforce developer? Are we just is it just kind of a new API that we're talking to, or is there a deeper connection than that?
I think there's a deeper connection when it comes to integrating Salesforce and MuleSoft, and also from a Salesforce developers or admin perspective, because there are so much more capabilities which MuleSoft provides when it comes to Salesforce. We can actually connect to all the clouds, different clouds like Salesforce, Marketing Cloud, Sales Cloud, Data Cloud, and everything. There are so much more options, I'm sure. And there are several accelerators as well present, which makes like the integration easier. So with Salesforce and MuleSoft being a part of 360 circle, so I think we are having more and more capabilities, and we are coming up with more stuff, which is making like the connections easier.
Gotcha. Can you give me like kind of an example of like give me like kind of a life cycle of let's consider a normal Salesforce application, like a Sales Cloud, communicating to MuleSoft. What kind of applications do you see running on either the MuleSoft side or beyond that kind of work together with these kind of integrations?
So with Sales Cloud, you would be definitely having some other end systems which are associated, right? Which are connected to Sales Cloud where you're getting the data from. So all these applications, while you're getting the data from, you can transform the data which is coming from all these applications, and you can transform them and process the application. You can write your own complex transformation logic. So while you're working with the Sales Cloud, assume this, let's suppose the data is coming from NetSuite, SAP, and everything, everywhere else, right?
Gotcha.
You're getting it in the MuleSoft, you're processing the data, you're formatting it, you're making sure that you're adding the API-led connectivity. So even if in future, if any of the system has to be replaced with something else, you're doing it with ease. So with MuleSoft, you can just think it of as like you're building a Lego block.
Okay.
So you're building actually a composable architecture. And if you want to replace one of the block with a different color block or different shape or something, you can still do it within no time. And that for that, you do not have to build the entire sculpture or entire block from the scratch. It's just that you're replacing one API with another, just like the way you would replace one Lego block with another.
So, got it.
Yeah.
And on top of MuleSoft itself, what kind of languages do you support?
Okay. So basically, I would say that MuleSoft is more of a no-code, low-code tool where we more focus on the integration and the coding part is almost taken care of. But when we are speaking about the transformation or logical operations, so for that, we have a scripting language, which is called as Dataweave. Okay. And it's quite easy as well to perform all these logical transformations. Other than that, if you are someone who's like a coder, hardcore coder, and wants to stick to the technical side, so you can actually build this MuleSoft connectors and all from scratch. You can get in your Java knowledge as well in picture, or you can build any of the custom policies as well. So if you want to get in technical side or heavy coding or something, there's a scope for that as well. But the prominent one is Dataweave.
And we've talked about Dataweave on the show because a curious thing kind of happened where Salesforce turned Dataweave into an Apex hosted language, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's still about to be, I mean, it's still in the plan, I guess.
Yeah. But the Dataweave that we're running within Apex is, it's like one, it's basically a 100% native version of what MuleSoft is running, right?
Yeah, that's true. I'm yet to learn more about it. So I'm still on the MuleSoft side and slowly going to the Salesforce side.
If I'm going to pick up a language like Dataweave, is there a language like JavaScript that it's relatively similar to?
Yeah, I guess so. It is. Because JavaScript as well is like more on the scripting side, right? So Dataweave is also a similar kind of thing.
Right. What is a common, like give me a really good use case for using Dataweave.
Okay. Suppose if you're having a data which is coming from system A, which needs to be transformed, like you need to you're getting fields like your first name, last name, company name, and then you want to merge your first name, last name, and your date of birth to some different format. you want, if you're getting this data in form of array, you want to transform it into JSON and a different format kind of thing. So for this transformation, you can use Dataweave.
It's kind of astonishing to me, to be honest. Like, I mean, I'm thinking of the early days of like extract, transform, and load, right?
Yeah.
And it's like
EDL.
Yeah. And it's like you had to like take two tables and kind of try to smoosh their faces together and hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
And now it's like you can tell it to be exactly this kind of format. Mm. And just what in Dataweave supports, it's not just JSON, right? Like you could do CSV or is it any text-based export? Is that a good way to describe it?
You can have any kind of data format, XML, JSON, Java, or CSV, or anything, basically. We also have this Dataweave playground where we can actually play with different kinds of data. It's on cloud-based like thing, a website, basically, where you can just play around with different types of data formats and try what you want. So it's all about you, your imagination, your use case.
I love it. I love it. Let's go back to spooky alerts a little bit. When it comes to, I'm going to keep using the phrase as much as possible. When it comes to things like, so as an Apex developer, we're very used to unit testing and test coverage, and we have the test coverage requirement that we have to hit before we can go to production. Does MuleSoft provide testing suites similar to that?
Yes. And the best part, you do not have to write the test scripts from scratch. You have MUnit test case recorder, which will be just recording. Oh. I mean, you just need to trigger the Mule flow. It will just capture whatever things are going on, whichever flow it's going, and it will prepare a test script for you, a unit test script.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we steal that for Salesforce?
Yes, definitely you can. So yeah, I mean, as a developer, I used to be like annoyed when I'm writing a test script. It used to be like, okay, we have to cover this scenario, and I'm still not getting the coverage, right? I'm still not reaching my threshold level or something.
Right.
So yeah, the MUnit test case recorded. I think it arrived like around 2 or 3 years back. And since then, our life has been easier, I would say.
Wow. Okay. I like this. And when it comes to things like things are going wrong, like let's be specific about the spooky alert, what kind of notification system does MuleSoft provide?
Okay. So when things are going wrong, the first thing you can, I mean, if there is a person who is constantly monitoring dashboard on daily basis, something, he can see that in the dashboard. Uh-huh. But the best one is like when you're sending the alerts, you can actually send an alert to your entire group thing or a particular email address who will be notified as soon as there is some spooky alert or as soon as there is something like if the number of requests are more than the usual or if the CPU consumption is quite high or something like that, if there's something suspicious happening, DDoS attack or anything, you would be getting notified by email. Or you can also integrate your MuleSoft with Slack. So you will be getting a Slack notification if there's something going wrong.
Oh, I like that. Now, one of the chapters I noted in the book, which was kind of one of those things, I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. What tips and tricks do you have for creating and designing documentations and specifications around APIs?
So for API documentations, we always prefer Exchange because traditionally we have been preferring Exchange to maintain everything at one place. So it is more like a repository where you have all the applications, and then you can also extend the APIs and write a proper documentation for your APIs. But recently, a month ago, AnyPoint Experience Hub has been released. And so that is something which is based on Experience Cloud. So you can actually create an API catalog where it's more like a app store kind of thing where you have all this APIs, applications portrayed in a very fancy manner. So you're actually creating a personalized personalized portal for yourself, for your company, for your organization using API Experience Hub.
Nice. And I'm realizing we've talked a lot about applications, tools, spooky alerts, documentation, and we only just now mentioned the word AnyPoint. When you say AnyPoint specifically, what are we talking about there?
Okay. So AnyPoint is like AnyPoint platform. Mm-hmm. So AnyPoint platform is the IPaaS capability of MuleSoft. And that is actually where the real fun starts. I mean, I would say fun for me because I'm it might not be fun for all, but it's fun for me because I'm actually into this for a long time and I love doing it. So AnyPoint platform is a place where you find like where you get everything under one mm-hmm. place, or it's like one place stop for all kind of thing. So you can design your APIs, you can publish your APIs to any point exchange. Even if you're someone who has never designed an API, you can still design an API without knowing the syntax or anything.
Gotcha.
Then you can just deploy your APIs or applications, Mule applications on Cloud Hub, which is like the cloud platform hosted, mm-hmm. which provides the hosting services. Okay, you can also manage your APIs. You can provide security to your APIs. You can implement different policies. No matter where your application is hosted or using what it is built, you can still manage it. And you can monitor your application. So basically, it has like so many capabilities, which can be sometimes overwhelming. But yeah.
Nice. Well, throwing the forward-looking statement out there, two questions. One, is there anything on the horizon that you're excited about?
Yes, I'm definitely excited about the AI part, which will be coming.
Okay.
And the new code, a new studio. So currently, if you have seen, so all of us, mostly whoever has started the MuleSoft journey over the years, we all have been working on like a AnyPoint studio, which is more like a Eclipse-based studio, which is built on top of like Excel. And it's like, So now we are going to get a cloud-based studio IDE. And also we are going to have a Visual Studio plugin. So you can actually design Mule application using Visual Studio Code.
Oh.
Yeah. So we have a forward-looking statement here. So I think it's safer to say that it should be out by around October time.
Okay. Yeah, don't worry. I make this joke all the time. You know how every now and then you can kind of hear air quotes. My audience is very used to hearing the asterisk at the end of sentences. And it's like, yeah, we understand it may or may not actually happen. But that kind of, I like that because it kind of connects all the dots of what we've been talking about because Salesforce developers now mostly live in VS Code. So if Salesforce developers want to start working with this kind of integration and kind of application platform, then it's going to be all in the same house.
Yes.
Nice. Now you snuck it in there a little bit, and I'm going to give you as many asterisks as you want. But how do you think, because AI is all the buzz, and like, I swear to God, I think I've accidentally asked questions like this at this point. How do you think AI is going to start changing how people work with platforms like MuleSoft?
Okay. So what I have been like after speaking to the product managers and all, what I think is it will be mainly helping with the AI, what we are talking about at Salesforce is mainly generative AI. Mm-hmm. So it will be more of like for predicting the next best possible action, like what would be the next possible flow thing or the next possible component which you could be using in your flow, which could be making more sense from the integration perspective, which will be giving you a more optimized integration. So something like that. Or whenever you're designing an API, what will be the next possible best action which you can take for your API, how you can enhance it, how you can make it like more better composable.
And that's our show. Now, before we go, I did ask after Akshata's favorite non-technical hobby, and it turns out it's something she puts a little step into.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, but I'm actually a classical dancer.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you start to learn that?
Okay, ever since I was a kid, I was so much into dancing. And so I've been learning, taking classes. After I moved to London, I have been practicing salsa a lot. So,
I want to thank Akshata for the great conversation and information. And as always, I want to thank you for listening. Now, we are going to be slowly transitioning the show over to the wonderful Julian Duque. And so when I say I'll talk to you next week, sometimes that actually might turn out to be Julian because we're sort of mixing up some of the schedule coming up. But anyway, if you want to learn more about this show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and links to your favorite podcast service. One of us will talk to you next week.